Okay, we're back, going into the final segment here of the day's program on Cross the Border. We're in chapter 19 of the Gospel of Matthew, and we're about verse 12, where he says, "There are some which are born eunuchs from their mother's womb, and there are some which were made eunuchs of men, and there are eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it." And when I left off, I made the proclamation that that's a very small percentage of men would be called by the Spirit to remain single for their lives, or even for the rest of their lives if they lost a wife. And I've lost a wife recently, a year or so ago, and I haven't felt that call yet, so I'm seeking another wife. But I believe for most men, our Heavenly Father, as we discuss the qualifications for leadership, that the leaders, generally speaking, so we can extend that to the majority of men, should be the husband of one wife. That means they need to be married, and also he extended that qualification that their children be in order, and so that they know how to govern a household before they can govern the family of God. They need to learn how to govern a family in their own house and have their wife and their children in order. And that's the whole object of the qualification for leadership in that instance. It's not a marriage statute, but it fits here too. So with what we're talking about with most men, should marry and obey the commandment to be fruitful and multiply and raise up as many children as possible in the nurture and admonition of Yahuwah. But I know with all these wicked women out here, and that even most of the women on the Christian sites are wicked women, because half of them proclaim that they don't want children. And it's a terrible thing, but that's the indoctrination of the world, and that's the idolatry of romance, and that's where it leads us, to women who want to be men, and to men who are feminized, and let the women get away with this. Yes, we should just... And you know what I say to those women who don't want children? Well, don't get married. That's right, don't get married. What's the point? You just want to have sex, period? You know, I mean, if you're beyond childbearing age, well, that's a different story. And perhaps you should remain a widow indeed, if you are a widow indeed. But you'll find that most of these women out there on these Christian sites, even on these Christian sites, shamefully have left their husbands unlawfully, and now they're seeking someone else to engage in continual adultery with, some unsuspecting poor man who doesn't know the law of God. Because I'll tell you what, I check them out. I want to know from these women why they left their husbands. Did they leave their husbands for a lawful reason? If they did, are they willing to obey the commandment that was given by Paul when he was teaching properly on the law, when he said to them to either remain single or be reconciled to their husband? So if you're in that case, yes, our Heavenly Father is forgiving. There is forgiveness for you. That's right. But you need to go and be reconciled to your husband and obey the commandment. And then if your husband will not be reconciled to you, then you're free. That's right. Then you're free to marry. But you see, the process of repentance has to happen first. You must repent. And that repentance is demonstrated by the work of obedience to the law. So if you've left your husband for an unlawful reason, you need to obey the commandment. You need to return your husband and be reconciled. And if he will not reconcile because of your obedience to the commandment to return and submit repentance, because of that process of repentance, you are now forgiven and free to remarry. But if you have not, if you are unrepentant, then you are not allowed by his law to remarry. And according to what Yahshua said when we started out today, you will, and you marry again in that condition of unrepentance, then you are entering into a relationship of continual adultery, and you are dragging someone in there with you, some unsuspecting man, or maybe unknowing, or maybe knowing. He's guilty if he's knowing, perhaps he's not guilty if he's not knowing, but you are guilty for him. You are going to be held responsible for him. And according to Yahshua, there it seems to work both ways, man or woman, under these conditions. So repent. The kingdom is at hand. Repent and you can be free. Our Heavenly Father is very forgiving. But first you must prescribe to his law as evidence of your repentance. Because if you don't return to your husband, if you don't return to your wife that you put away unlawfully to be reconciled, then there is no repentance. That's right. Because there is the fruit meet for repentance, and he told us what that process was, the works that is fruit meet for repentance. And then, like I said, if your spouse refuses to reconcile, then you're free. You did what the law required you to do. You attempted to reconcile. And you have to do it genuinely. You know, the Heavenly Father had judged your heart. He knows whether you really want to please him or you're just going through the motions. You don't want to be just going through the motions. You may not like it. You may not like the idea of swallowing your pride or becoming as a child and humbling yourself to obedience to his word in that instance. But if you do it, you'll be rewarded by him for it. If you don't do it, you'll miss out on the reward that he has for you in your life and in eternity. And you'll suffer the punishment for your deeds, in your flesh and perhaps for eternity. Because you cannot ignore his Holy Spirit, you cannot blaspheme his Holy Spirit and his law and stay in his kingdom. You'll find yourself right outside the border of the kingdom of heaven. You will not have endured till the end. Chapter 19 and verse 13. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. Get those children out of here. Make them go play somewhere else. Something like that. They're rebuking those that are bringing the children forth. But what does the master say? He said, suffer the little children. That means allow the little children and forbid them not to come unto me. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Yes, children. You children out there. You can enter into the kingdom of heaven. Come. That's what he says to all the little children. Let them come. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said to him, Why do you call me good? Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one. That is God, Yahuwah. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Well, it doesn't get any more explicit than that. You want to enter into life? Remember that kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And if you repent, the fruit of repentance is keeping his commandments. That's right. That's what he says. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. So he says to him, Which one? He didn't say keep a couple of the commandments, did he? The guy's kind of hard of hearing, maybe. Which commandment, he says. Well, he goes on, thou shalt do no murder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thou shalt not kill. Of course, by the case law that's given with the thou shalt not kill commandment, we know that it is murder. And the case law that's given in the Old Testament, as we went through it, prescribes what murder is. It's the same case law that applies today, that is the foundation of the murder statutes today. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Well, you know what? He doesn't leave much out there, does he? And the young man says unto him, all these I have kept from my youth up. What do I lack? What lack I yet? He knows that something, there's something else that's keeping him from the kingdom of heaven. What do I lack? And Yahshua said to him, if thou will be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. What's he talking about? Perfection. Can we reach a state of perfection? Well, obviously not. We all know that the commandment convicts us of sin, and that we strive to keep his commandments. One, because as volunteers in his kingdoms, we only want to do his kingdom. We only want to do the things which please him. So we strive, and we know we fail, and we repent when we fail, and we learn better how to not fall for how to resist temptation the next time that temptation comes around. So there's no sinless state of sinless perfection. And there's none really implied here. You know, let's stay in reality. So, but he says, what is lacking? How can I be perfected enough to enter into your kingdom? What am I lacking? What is keeping the man from his kingdom? Well, obviously, it's the love of riches. This is the thing which will allow you to enter the kingdom of heaven. Keep the commandments. You strive to do those things. Yet you have another idol in your life. It's the love of money. It's the love of riches. It's those things that are holding you back. So if you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. He's calling this man explicitly. The others, you know, he called Peter and the other men off their ships. He said, come and follow me. They left everything and followed him. And then there was Matthew collecting his taxes, collecting tribute for the occupying force. He was a coadjutor for the Roman government, doing their bidding for an alien and foreign nation that was occupying Israel, the nation of Israel at that time. And he left his tables. He left off his money collection. He just dropped everything. And he followed him. And that's what Yahshua is saying to this man. Go ahead, sell all you have. Give it up. Give up everything. And give it to the poor. And come follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Well, why would he go away sorrowful unless he loved his possessions? As he... Yahshua zoomed right in on his problem. There is nothing. Don't allow anything to keep you from entering into his kingdom. Don't allow anything to keep you from following the Lamb of God whithersoever he goes. Wherever he goes, don't allow anything. Riches, your children, your family, your parents, the love of money, patriotism to a nation, a creed, education, the lure of fame and fortune, and nothing is more important. Not even your hands or your feet. It would be better if you cut them off and cast them from you and entered into life without them, without any of these things. It would be better for this man. It would be like this man, this rich young man who had great possessions. It would be like cutting off his hands and his feet to enter the kingdom. That's pretty much the same thing for a rich man who counts on his riches and is used to those riches. It's like cutting off something that's a part of him. But to enter into the kingdom of heaven, don't let anything keep you from entering. Whatever it is, cut it off and cast it from you, because there's nothing more important than your eternal disposition. So man heard that saying, he was sorrowful, for he had great possession. And then Jesus said to his disciples, verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And I heard a teaching on this camel through the eye of a needle thing, and let's see, I'm not sure, but you get it's something that's practically impossible. And because he goes on and he said that, he says that all things with God, all things are possible. So even with God, even a camel going through the eye of a needle would be possible. He said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. When the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, who then can be saved? Because I'll tell you what, there are poor men that worship wealth for the want of it, and they can't enter the kingdom of heaven because they have their eyes on another prize. And then there are rich men who love their riches, can't enter the kingdom of heaven because they love their riches too much. But there are rich men and those that are well off that have entered into the kingdom of heaven, and they use their riches for good to the best of their ability. And I see a lot of them are fooled by charlatans too. But let the Heavenly Father judge their motivations, and it's not my job. And there are poor men who love riches for the want of it, and they just want to be rich more than they want anything. And that's why they cry out to the government to steal from their neighbor. And there's a whole swarms of them out there today. As a matter of fact, these idolaters who have nothing, which is most people, or at least a large percentage of the population where I live, they get to choose leaders over them who promise that they will steal from their neighbor to give to them. Doesn't work. That's why you see the nation coming to financial ruin. Well, it was foretold by the founding fathers and by that great book called The Law, written by Mr. Bastiat so many years ago, 250 years ago, whenever he wrote it. Great work. Little book, but a great work. Okay. The disciples heard it. They were amazed, saying, who can be saved? And Yahshua said to them, with man, this is impossible. But with Yahuwah, all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, of course, you know Peter, he's the first one to speak, behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Well, yes, it's good, you know, to know what you're going to get. And Yahshua, Jesus, says to him, verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, he's talking about the resurrection, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So he's explicitly addressing these men, because they are the pillars. They are the pillars that sit on the foundation upon which the kingdom of heaven is built, because they are the first, and upon their work the whole ecclesia is built. So he says that you shall sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And of course he's speaking to all Hebrew men there. Yes, they're all Hebrew, all 12 of them are Hebrew men, except for that one who was replaced, of course. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, now he's addressing everyone, that's you and me, have forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wives, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. You know, there are a lot of men out there that have married a lot of wicked women in this world. And when they get challenged by these wicked women, they forget about the law of God, and they allow their woman to rule them, using the sword of the state or the threat of stealing their children. A very wicked thing. You men, for the kingdom's sake, don't be afraid to let that wicked woman go. That's right. Don't be afraid to let her go. And don't be afraid for your children. Be afraid if you, in disobedience to God, allow her to rule your house. Then you should be afraid for your own soul and the souls of your children. If you act in obedience and you stand up to that wicked woman, she may come in line and she may not come in line. That's not for you to determine. What for you to do is to do obedience to your Heavenly Father. And stand up and be a man. And if she leaves, well, then she leaves. And if the gun of the state allows her to steal your children, then she'll steal your children. But I'll tell you what, the Heavenly Father will give you your children. He will give you their minds and their hearts, and I know it, because He did it for me. I had a wicked wife. My first wife was a wicked woman. She left me in a disobedience and in adultery. She left. And I prayed, Heavenly Father, she may have their bodies. She took my daughter and left my son because my son was disabled. He was born severely retarded. So she left him, of course. She didn't want the burden. And I prayed for my daughter. I said, Father, she may have her body. She may possess her body, but I want you to give me her heart and her mind. And you know what? My Heavenly Father, He answered that prayer. And today, my daughter lives close to me, and she has no regard for that wicked mother that bore her. And she's raising her children in nurture and God admonition of our Heavenly Father. I have three grandchildren by that daughter. She's 30 years old now. My Heavenly Father honored that. Three godly grandchildren being homeschooled, like I homeschooled my daughter because I got physical custody of my daughter. I had to wait till she was 12 years old. And I nurtured her in the admonition and training of our Heavenly Father from the time she was 12. And yes, she did rebel against me because of the training that she got before, but she came back after 7 years. My Heavenly Father is faithful. Our God is faithful. We just need to be obedient. We need to be faithful to His Word and His commandments, and He will always be faithful to us. Well, that's all I have for today. You've been listening to Cross the Border. I'll see you next time. Hallelujah.